The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Welcome once again, everybody, to Golf Talk America on PGA Tour Radio. Tim Matthews with you, and thanks so much for being with us. We have a wonderful show lined up for you today, talking a lot about what happened on the West Coast. It doesn't involve the weather. It kind of involves the weather because the Genesis Open certainly was affected by all the rain that continues to come down on Southern California, and a lot of issues around golf happening in the Southern California area. It did affect the golf tournament. Did not seem to faze Dustin Johnson whatsoever, because he's going to remember this week not for all the rain gear he had to put on and off and the delays in the golf tournament, but because for the first time in his life, he's the number one golfer in the world. So congratulations to Dustin Johnson for winning the Genesis Open, and in the meantime, passing up Jason Day as the number one player in the world. So we'll talk about that coming up. Also looking forward to the Honda Classic. Frank Bassett will be heading to West Palm Beach, Florida for the Honda Classic coming up this week, and a great week it should be. Hopefully the weather will be a lot nicer than it was on the other coast as they go to the Florida swing of things on the PGA Tour. And our good friend Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf will be joining us in just a little bit as well, give us his perspective on DJ. I'm kind of curious how long he thinks his reign will be. We have some statistics that we can tell you about how many people have changed, the titles have changed hands as the number one golfer in the world. It's not something that one person hangs on to anymore, and I think we all know who I'm referencing. It seems to go back and forth like a bad cold. But Jason Day had a pretty good run, 47 weeks as the number one golfer in the world, so he may not get there again. Jordan Spieth is down to number six, and it seemed like Jordan Spieth had a pretty good hold on it for a while and slips through his fingers like sand, so it's kind of a strange thing, the number one title, and whether it means anything or not. Our Frank Bassett joins us from the Nashville studios. Frank, your opinion is it seems to be kind of a thing that we all like to talk about, and it's a neat thing because everybody wants to hold up their index finger. Everybody's number one in any sport, so it's a neat thing, but you kind of think it's a little bit skewed and maybe not so important in the world of golf?
Hey, good morning, Tim. How are you? Hey, before we answer that question, you're okay in Dallas, right? Everything?
Yes. The weather was pretty severe last night, but luckily, I don't know why, but luckily the weather always seems to come at night. So I woke
why
up.
Is that?
But I don't know. Bad weather. And so my dog was, you know, hovering over my head on my pillow
scared
all night long.
She
was scared. But it was fine. It had some bad consequences in San Antonio. That some real high winds or maybe even tornadoes and blew some houses around. But no, Dallas, I think, got out of it okay.
Good. And all the courses are intact as we're getting ready for a Texas swing, too, after this Florida swing. So
we'll get back down here.
Yeah, it'll be fun. No, to answer your question, I don't. You know, I just think that number one of the world, well, it's manufactured in my eyes.
Yeah.
I just don't really care for it. I mean, I would rather, you know, let's wait until the end. Wait until you go to PGA Tour Champions, and then let's see where all the numbers hang out. Not week in and week out. I don't know. It's just a little much for me. But I'll tell you one thing interesting, though, and a really interesting stat with this win this week, Dustin Johnson at the Genesis Open. He joins Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods as the only players to have won at least once on the PGA Tour in their first 10 seasons. That's a pretty good frat right there.
That's pretty impressive. When you join Arnie, Jack, and Tiger in any group, I don't care if it's a dinner party, any group, you can put those four together, pretty impressive.
Who do you think, at least once in their first 10 seasons, who do you think out of those four men, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and Dustin Johnson, has the most wins in their first 10 years on tour?
Well, it seems like you'd have to say Tiger, so I guess I'm going to go with the obvious call, Tiger. Do you know the answer?
I do. It's a tie. Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus both at 17. Tiger came in at 14.
Is that right?
Yeah. How do you like that?
I was last out of all three.
Really?
Yeah. Jack and Arnie both had. I did not know that. Very good. Wow. Because I thought Tiger, I mean, once he got started, it seemed like he was winning seven or eight a year, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It seemed like he was just winning every week.
So in 10 years, you're saying Tiger won 14 tournaments? That can't be right.
His first 10 years on tour.
Yeah, but that can't be right, can it?
Well, the first, it says, the first, and I'm looking at my my cheat sheet, of course. Needless to say, this doesn't just pop up in my head. But it just says, with his win this week, Johnson joins Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, and Arnold Palmer as players to have won at least once on the PGA Tour each of their first 10 seasons on tour. 55-71 was Palmer. 62-78 was Nicklaus. 96-2009 was Tiger. And 2008-2016 is Dustin Johnson with 10.
Yeah, I'm going to dispute that. I think we got to research it. I don't think there's any way Tiger has 79 wins, and in his first 10 years, he had 14.
To have won at least once each of their first 10 seasons on tour, at least once.
Yeah, I got that. But then you said who won the most tournaments, didn't you, in those first 10 years of their careers?
With his win this week, Johnson joins Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, and Arnold Palmer as players to have won at least once on the PGA Tour each of their first 10 seasons on tour. And it just says Arnold Palmer 17, Jack Nicklaus 17, Tiger Woods 14, Dustin Johnson 10. Unless I'm reading this wrong, my brain is a little scrambled today. I'm worn out. But
yeah, we'll have to look at it. Because I'm sure, because Tiger, I think in 99 alone, we talked about that because Jordan Spieth, remember when they both were the youngest to become, you know, win 10 tournaments or something like that, he passed Tiger Woods. And Tiger did that like in 99, because in 99 he won 8 tournaments alone. I remember talking about that.
I'm looking at this.
We don't want to bog
everybody down. 96 to 2009 is not 10 years. 96 to 2006 is 10 years.
So, where are you getting these numbers?
This is straight from the PGA Tour, from our crack staff at PGA Tour that sends us the stuff
Donald
wants
Trump
to talk about.
Donald Trump, you need to vet your information a little bit over here.
Well, he won in Sweden. That must have been Sweden.
Is that what happened in Sweden?
You know what?
Happened in Sweden.
You know what?
Wow.
I recant my statement. I'm going to research this, and I will get back to you on Wednesday from the Honda Classic.
Here's what the number is, I think, Frank. I think it's how many consecutive seasons with a win. So for 14 straight years, Tiger had at least one win. That doesn't mean that was his total wins. Right? For 14 straight years.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Jack
did it for 17 straight years. Jack won it.
That's right. 14
now,
straight
and
years.
Now,
Tiger, yeah.
And now,
that's
and now
that's
DJ has, okay. has won 10 straight, at least one tournament. But that's not their total.
But that's not their total. So we need to know their totals. Yeah. Well, see, there you go. Okay. I'm going to take
huge.
A break.
We completely confuse everybody.
Okay, everybody out there.
We'll get Steve Johnson in here to confuse them more.
Let's get some more great stats, okay? Come on. You got to hear this one. So Dustin Johnson's strokes gained summary for this past week, okay?
Yes.
Off the tee, he was first at plus 5.207, okay?
Nice.
Approach the green, he was second at 3.268. Around the green, he was 43rd, so we need to get him some new wedges, at 0.658. And putting, strokes gained putting, 7.363. He was third at plus 7 for the week. Third.
He has really improved his putting, hasn't
he?
He has.
So anyway, if you total that up, he was first in strokes gained at plus 16.496. So,
wow.
And listen to this. This is interesting, too, for our listeners, because they don't probably see some of this stuff. But in round one, he hit 8 of 14 fairways, 13 of 18 greens, and had 26 putts. Round two, 8 of 14 fairways, 15 of 18 greens, and 29 putts. Round three, 6 of 14 fairways, going backwards, 15 of 18 greens again, and 27 putts, better. And round four, which is, you know, they played a lot yesterday.
Final day.
Yeah, 7 of 14 fairways, so 50% of the fairways he hit. 13 of 18 greens, not bad. Back to round one, same number, but 32 putts. So therein comes the bogeys. So, but I thought
he had a comfortable lead. So
he did.
Didn't really
he was 20,
to worry about
20
it.
Under at one time, and I really thought he was going to break Lanny Watkins' record. Yeah. I really, really thought he was going to do it. So Lanny still holds the record. low total 20 under. So there you go. And that's a true. I know that stat. There you go.
Hey, let's call Steve Johnson. You want to call him?
You just dial him up. I mean, while
let's
we're
on
the air.
Why don't we do it?
Let's see if we get him. It goes to his voicemail half the time.
Yeah, half the time it does.
Let's just dial him up. Dial him up.
We'll wake him up here.
Let's see what he's doing. This is always fun.
Get him out of bed.
Watch this. Come on, Steve.
Hello, this is Steve.
Hi, this is Sears. Oh. Do you have siding on your home?
What?
Hey,
what?
Stevie Ray J. Stevie Ray J. Prank calls live on the show from Golf Talk America. We're prank calling.
Who? You've got the wrong number.
Yeah, I know. Quit calling me.
You were trying to call Dustin Johnson, weren't you?
That's what it was.
Some siding. Yeah, that was our goal.
No, do you keep speaking of all this robocalling stuff, Steve? I have a question. Do you constantly get emails on student loan forgiveness? I do. I get three or four a day in my spam box.
No, I don't.
Well, I've never had a student loan in my life. Maybe it's my parents up in heaven sending
me that. Maybe you ought to get paid for those.
Well, mom and dad finance that, and they're both
gone. That's what they're counting on, yeah.
So they're up there going, all right, let's jerk his chain a little bit. He spent too much at Ole Miss.
Well, let's be honest, Frank. When you were in school, it was probably, what, $800 a semester?
No. I was out of state tuition at Ole Miss, and it was high.
It was back in 1942. Come on.
Plus the fraternity, the cost of the fraternity, the cost of the car, the cost of the clothes you had to wear at Ole Miss. Dry cleaning alone, starched khakis and white shirts, expensive. Yeah. Ole Miss, and dating, like after the first set of grades came out, real quick though, after the first set of grades came out, my parents came in under the cloak of darkness and took my car back home. And I got up the next morning. I went to UPD and said, my car's been stolen. They said, no, Mr. Bassett, your parents came and got it last night. They got your grades.
There you go.
I called my dad and mom and said, what am I going to do? How am I going to date? And dad said, you're at Ole Miss to go to class, not date. So there. Okay.
Man.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
This sounds more like a Jerry Springer audition rather than Golf Talk America.
Frank Bassett venting.
Anyway, sorry. Hey, Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you guys.
How are you doing? That's old Steve, a Cal grad. I want to make sure while we get everybody's schools in here, the Cal grad. Hey, Stevie Ray J, who is the managing partner of Hank Haney Golf. I want to get into your long-distant cousin, Dustin Johnson, and who you'll be calling now for a loan. Now number one in the world.
Man.
It all surprised about that? I mean, let's go back a few years, 4 or 5 years even, when Dustin was kind of a close but no cigar kind of guy. A lot of times, certainly majors. Did you project at that time that Dustin Johnson could get his short game together, be a better putter, keep bombing the ball like he's doing, get his head straight, and be the number one golfer in the world?
Well, I mean, no doubt about it, Tim. He has a lot of talent. And back even when he was a rookie, I asked one of the golfers here in Dallas, who was a prominent golfer that was on the Walker Cup team with Dustin Johnson, was on the Walker Cup team with a lot of the guys that are on the tour now. And I asked him, I said, who's the up-and-comer? I was asking Tripp Keeney, who was one of the older players on the Walker Cup. He says, you know this kid, Dustin Johnson? He's long. He can go deep. And he's a good putter. Now, I mean, good putter compared to the standards of amateur golf. But I tell you what, he's worked on his putting. He saw that he was using a different putter this week. And different grip. He had the big super stroke on there.
Right.
But this just goes to show that there are courses for horses, and he does well there at Riviera. I mean, my gosh, the only guy that didn't do well was the guy that won last year, Bubba Watson. He didn't even want to play 36 holes.
He withdrew. You're right. He withdrew early and wasn't into it. The weather was certainly a problem for a lot of these guys, although it is fairly common on the PGA Tour. We talked about it last year. It seemed like every tournament was delayed a little bit. This one certainly had big-time delays as well. But sticking with the number one theme and Dustin Johnson putting all the weather aside and playing as well as he did, finishing at 17 under, getting it to 20 under at one time, do you think he'll reign as the top golfer in the world for a long time, or will this be more of a situation where he's going to kind of fall in the category of some of the other guys that were there for 8, 10, 20, 30 weeks, and then we don't hear from him very much?
Well, his question mark is his putting, but I mean, he does have the talent, and they're playing the type of courses now, Tim, that really favor his long straight ball flight. And this week they play at PGA National at the Honda Classic. Man, one of the most tough courses, and typically they get weather there. They'll have at least one day of weather where they have either rain or rain and wind or both, or tough course, really long par threes, and then they go. I think they go down to Mexico to play in the World Golf Championship, the match play. And then they go to Bay Hill, and then they go to the Masters. So I think he has about three or four courses that really favor his game.
We're talking with Steve Johnson, managing partner of Hank Haney Golf, and you brought up the Masters. I was curious, is DJ a factor? Will he be a factor at the Masters? It doesn't seem like that's a course that and I was talking to somebody the other day about Jordan Spieth. No matter how Jordan's playing, I expect that in his career he'll always contend at the Masters because Augusta just fits him well. And you're talking about courses for horses. Is it the kind of place that, a guy like DJ, it seems like he should be able to dominate, like maybe a Bubba Watson, but hasn't yet come all together there? Do you think DJ will be a factor at Augusta?
He'll be definitely be a factor. If he putts well, he can win because he sure does hit it good enough. And the parts of his game that he has worked on, the approach shots inside of 100 yards around the green, he's improved compared to last year. The big question mark is the putting. Can he get his putting going for 72 holes?
I wonder, too, about his demeanor, because people make comments about it all the time. My wife did just watching golf with me the other day, and she over the weekend, and she was like, does he ever, like, show any emotion one way or the other? It seems like, I mean, how do you criticize a guy who's number one in the world, and he's won on the tour 10 straight years and very elite company, reigning U.S. Open champion? Hard to criticize him. But does that lack of emotion for the average golfer out there, is that a good thing? If you're a coach, do you try to get emotion out of the game and have a guy show as little emotion as a Dustin Johnson? Or do you prefer when somebody at least seems to be having some fun once in a while? He doesn't smile. He doesn't do anything when he's playing.
Well, I'm telling you what, he has fun. Now, his emotions run very deep. And what you look for is just a balance. You know, like you see a guy like Sergio Garcia, and he has the big highs and he has the really deep lows. They related Dustin Johnson yesterday to Fred Couples. And I mean, you couldn't have a better example of just a level demeanor than a guy like Fred Couples, or, I mean, the younger version, Dustin Johnson. You know, he's out there. He's enjoying himself. He loves the game of golf, and it doesn't really look like it outwardly, but he loves golf. And, you know what? He was having fun out there the other day. I know he didn't like bogeying a couple holes coming in. I mean, that wasn't what he had in mind, but he was so far ahead. It was just, you know, hey, I'm 8 shots up. Let's not waste shots and figure out a way to lose this thing. You know, he was being safe coming in. Started on number 10 when he pulled his tee shot a little bit. It's that drivable par 4. Pulled his tee shot under a tree, and he just played it safely on the green and two-putted from about 45 feet for par and moved on. You know, one of the commentators said, hey, why didn't he put it closer to the pin? Well, if he would have put it closer to the pin, he would have brought both sides bunkers into play. And we saw what Scott Piercy did there last year. He ping-ponged it back and forth about 5 times, made an 8 on the hole. He actually made about an 8-footer for 8 on that hole. And that's the only thing that Dustin Johnson couldn't have happen to win this tournament. So he didn't let it happen.
We were talking earlier about being number one in the world and whether or not it's kind of, in air quotes, if you will, kind of a media made-up thing. It hasn't always been the case. I think it goes back to about the mid-'80s. So a lot through Jack and Arnie's days and earlier golfers, they weren't ranked like that. Is it significant? Does it matter who's number one or not number one? Obviously, they want to win tournaments, and I guess it kind of goes hand in hand, but there's also a lot of numbers that go into who's number one. Is this something that the players care about? You're around these players an awful lot, or is it more that it's something for guys like us to talk about?
You know what? Believe it or not, Tim, they really care about it. We heard early in the week, Jason Day talked about being number one and how much pressure he felt and how that was his goal in golf. He wanted to be number one. And once he got there, he wanted to keep number one. So, I think Dustin Johnson, it's so closely packed there with the points. And, you know, it just every week the players are losing points from tournaments that happened 2 years ago, and they're gaining points from the tournaments that are happening now. I mean, I think Jason Day has a very good game. The question mark is always his health. You know, is he going to have vertigo? Is he going to have back issues, shoulder issues? I mean, Dustin Johnson seems to be a player that doesn't tend to get injured. And we're going right into the tournaments right now that really favor him. You got Rory McIlroy, who's on the shelf right now with an injury. You couldn't consider Jordan Spieth is always a factor, but you couldn't consider Jordan Spieth, who's number six in the world this week. You couldn't consider him, a top favorite in all of these tournaments because he doesn't have the length that these other guys have. It's going to be tight, but you know what? I can see Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson impressed the heck out of me when he won at Oakmont under all that USGA, baggage and the story that really wasn't the story. Did the ball move? Did it not move? Was it a penalty? Was it not a penalty? If a guy can get through something like that, he can get through anything.
It also shows you how you can overcome things. He was so close at Whistling Straits and times when people thought, well, he's going to be one of those guys that comes close and never wins a major, and he seemed to be snake bitten for the early parts of his career, certainly in the last 5 years, and now he's overcome all that. That experience, I'm sure, is invaluable to him now as he's obviously overcome it and won a major and is now number one in the world. But when you mentioned his health, it brings to mind your good friend Tiger Woods and the fact that he did not play this week, but he also did not have a news conference, which was scheduled for, I believe, Tuesday or Wednesday of last week because the Genesis Open benefited his foundation. He said he was advised by his doctor not to sit in a chair long enough and whatever. What's your take on Tiger now? And of course, he's not also playing at Honda, which he'd earlier committed to. What's your take on on Tiger now? Is it still just back spasms? That seems like a long time for back spasms to be affecting play.
Yeah, tremendous setback for Tiger, which is a shame. I mean, we had such optimism once we saw him at Hero World Challenge back in December, and then he comes up to Torrey Pines and doesn't look very good, and then he goes to Dubai and looks terrible and withdraws. And, has the back spasms there in Dubai. Rumors flying all over the place about that, Tim. Some rumors are that he was lifting heavy again. And we saw that he's gotten a lot bigger. He's gotten a lot bigger since Hero World Challenge. He looked real lean and mean there. And now he's puffy again. So the rumors have it that he lifted heavy, got back spasms, and he's spiraled downward since. So,
Is that even possible? I mean, how could he be doing
that?
That's
not the direction you really want to go to get your game back.
No, but we've talked about that, it seems like, forever about Tiger and the wrong kind of workouts. Is it even feasible that he doesn't understand that and he's still lifting heavy?
Well, I mean, look, you can't get that big by doing yoga. I mean, you can't get that big by stretching.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to put your muscles under fatigue, and you've got to stress those muscles, and they repair, and they get bigger. And he has gotten definitely bigger. And, can't believe it. I mean, it's an addictive personality type deal. I mean, we've seen it in other parts of his life. It used to be with golf, and then it was off the course, and now it's off the course with lifting. It just doesn't make sense that he's got to figure out what he wants to do. There's no doubt about it. When he gets focused in a direction, he will definitely go that direction. He'll be successful.
We just can't really see what direction he
really wants to go.
You're around him an awful lot when he was working with Hank. Does he have a stubborn personality? I mean, it seems like enough people have told him, or he certainly heard, stop lifting like a linebacker, you're not playing in the NFL, all those different things. Is he a stubborn kind of personality that he doesn't want to listen to somebody else and he says, well, I still know what's best and I'm going to do it if that's what I think I should do?
That's one of the things that makes him great is that once he goes, decides a direction, he goes that direction. So you could say that he's stubborn, but he listens. He does listen. Now, he doesn't always react to the message that's given, but I remember Hank always used to say that he would just try to plant seeds, and he would continue to plant seeds in Tiger's head, and eventually Tiger would come up with the same conclusion, and they could go that direction. So this faulty body that he has, and the body that's in disrepair, he's got to do something, or he's just going to quit golf.
Well, it just seems like that, it's a disruptive, if he is indeed doing that, and you would know, you see him all the time on TV, and you know his body style. If he is getting bigger, and it's for the same reason, you really have to question it. But obviously he's hurt again, so he's not doing something that I'm assuming the doctors, and we talked about that, Frank and I did last week on the show. He took off for a year and a half, so his body should have had plenty of time to recover. And so this quickly to have injuries again and back spasms doesn't seem to make much sense that you took that much time off. You shouldn't have any – if you did everything correctly, you shouldn't have any problems with that. But it's a storyline that just doesn't seem to go away, and we'll keep talking about it. Unfortunately, he's not playing because we'd all love to see him out on the golf course this past week at L.A. and certainly this week coming up in Palm Beach. We would love to see him play, but apparently we're going to have to wait a little bit longer. Before I let you go, Steve, you're assuming, I am too, but let me ask the question outright. Tiger's right now going to focus on Augusta, whatever. If he doesn't play again, will he play at Augusta? And that would be his real focus, at least in the next 45 days?
I mean, I can't see him playing Augusta. I mean, I don't know how he's going to prepare for Augusta. There's not many events that he can play in. There's two World Golf Championship events before Augusta. There's Bay Hill. He will not be playing in Honda this week. He's never played in Innsbruck. I just can't see that he's going to be able to get the reps in to be ready. And I mean, he's got to. Can you imagine if your first tournament is the Augusta National, the Masters?
Right.
You know, I think there's very little chance of him playing in that.
Wow.
I mean, in fact, I think there's very little chance of him playing this year, to be honest. The guy's horizontal,
right?
Tim.
Yeah.
The guy cannot get vertical.
And you think that's,
you know, that's
literally his
said,
body? Or
I read
is it
on
his
the
head?
Internet this morning that he didn't come give the trophy to the Genesis Open because the doctors told him he needed to stay horizontal.
If he doesn't play the Masters, then, and I said this earlier, I thought this earlier, if he doesn't play the Masters, that could be it. This could be it then, Steve. I mean, does he retire?
I don't think there's any reason to retire. I mean, and you know, we've seen players retire before. Michael Jordan retired five times. You know?
Right.
It's just the retirement deal is not.
Yeah.
He could just say, hey, you know what? I don't know when I'm coming back, but at some point, when my body's ready and I'm ready, I will come back. He just signed some deals with manufacturers.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
What do you think they're thinking, Frank?
Oh boy.
You know,
oh boy.
Right.
TaylorMade. He just signed a big deal with TaylorMade and Bridgestone.
He's had a
relationship with Hero Motorcycles, and he hasn't done anything since he signed that deal. I mean, he's played in two Hero Challenges, and that's it. The first one he played in was when he had the shanks and he had the chipping yips. He did well in the last one in the Bahamas, but I mean, the Hero company hasn't gotten a lot for their money, I wouldn't think. And TaylorMade just made a. It wasn't disclosed, but I'm sure they made a huge commitment to Tiger. And here's a guy that they just signed, and he's not even going to play in the near future. So
well,
I don't think there's any incentive to say, hey, I'm retiring. Well, I don't know what you retire from. I mean, he's not playing right now. So, I mean, essentially he's retired until he comes back and starts playing.
You know what I'm thinking on this end, after Steve says that, tongue in cheek, is, you know, I'm available if TaylorMade needs to sign a player.
Yeah,
I really want Callaway, but we won't go there. So there.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know
we'll
what he's going to do.
Out.
I don't know what he's going to do. Yeah, I think you're right though, Steve. I mean, you would know more than I would or Tim would because you've been around him so much. But it's sad. I'm disappointed.
One
he's not going to be
we
at Honda.
Do as teachers, I mean, we observe, and you know, we just pay attention and just watch what happens. I mean, people say different things, but really their actions speak much louder than what their comments do. So, I mean, we just watch what they do. I mean, when a guy's getting puffy and the guy's starting to get big again, you're thinking, wow, he's got to be doing the things that could have caused some of the problems in his back.
Yeah.
You know, he's not swinging the way Sean Foley wanted him to anymore, and so he said that he couldn't swing that way, it hurt his back, so he's not doing that anymore, but and now his back still hurts, so you got to look at other parts of his life to see, you know, is there other things that he's doing that is causing that problem. And when you get puffy, you can't get puffy by you know, just laying horizontal.
No, that's true.
It's interesting to see how it's all playing out again. And once again, we've got more drama around Tiger and him not playing then and all the anticipation of when, and we still kind of are sitting on the fence and waiting to see when it's going to happen.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, when are you on the air again, Hank Haney Golf?
You know what? I just got a list of a number of dates. I've been coming on with Hank a couple times a week, and I'm going to be hitting the airwaves hard here because he's taking some time off. You know, he does a show 7 days a week, 10 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 208 XM92, and he has a lot of fun. And you know, we asked callers to send videos, and they could your listeners can send videos as well to golfschools@hankhaney.com just to down the line video. Within 24 hours, we'll send it back a coach video. We've got I'll be talking about our golf schools and our professional development over this next week. So you got to listen in.
Good. I'll listen in. Well, you may get a surprise caller.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Bubba from Mississippi.
Especially if you're gonna offer free golf clubs. Frank will call in.
The description will be Frank with no clubs.
Calling from Matt from Nashville.
Yeah, I'm on my way, by the way. I'm hopping a flight and heading down to Palm Beach. We'll be covering the Honda Classic this week live from there. So we may holler at you live from the Honda Classic and give you a report.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, we'll be
there. That would be great. You got to give me an on-site report. Now, bring your rain jacket, too, Frank.
Oh, I always do.
There's some elements down there.
I have my Viegas white rain suit. I have a white rain suit that AUR Sportswear sent me. I love it. It's beautiful, but you can wear it once.
It's white.
I'll have my SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio black rain suit on. So there you go.
Very good.
You'll be covered. I'll be sporting.
All right, Steve.
Very sporting.
Good. Hey, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for your insight and your comments, and we'll be talking to you again soon. And again, people can listen to you on Hank Haney's show on SiriusXM 7 days a week. So good luck with
Tim,
that.
I've got to have you on. I got to have you on pretty soon too, because I got to get your insights on some things. I want it on the air, though. I want it on record.
I'm smoking hot. You got to get
Lord,
me. Yeah,
please.
I got opinions.
Don't embarrass us,
right.
Tim.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks.
Take care. Have a great day.
Bye bye.
Steve Johnson,
great guy. Great
managing
guy.
Partner with Hank Haney Golf, and he doesn't. He doesn't mince words.
No, he doesn't.
He sees it the way he sees it, and he calls it how he sees it, and you have to appreciate that about him. And I hadn't really thought about it. I guess maybe I haven't seen a lot of Tiger, quite honestly, to kind of measure it up. But he does, and he's known that. He says, you know what, he's bigger than he was, and Steve is really – he's a coach. He's very observant, and I'm sure that there's truth to that. And if that is the case, that, you know, as he said, you don't get it from yoga. If he's getting bigger and he's lifting again, you're like, oh, you got to be kidding me. And now his back's out again. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're right, Frank. It's almost like we seem to be much, much closer to the end of Tiger than to this resurgence that we've all kind of been waiting for. Because he's only 41. I mean, it's plenty of time to play golf in the golf world. He was
sure
thinking, okay, you got all through your 40s. He should be very competitive. And I'm sure he thought 10 years ago he would be. And yet here we're sitting going, well, how much more can he play? Will we ever see him again? It's sad. It's disappointing. Again, it's like seeing Jordan retire. You don't want to see the great ones go away, but you really don't want it to be self-inflicted. That's the thing that bothers me.
Well, that's,
why would
you
do things that you shouldn't be doing?
It's like Elvis. I mean, who would want to see an old Elvis Presley? So, you know, Steve said one comment. I almost jumped in there, but I didn't want to make light of what he was talking about. But he said, you know, why do you go to the biggest tournament of the year as your first tournament? You wouldn't do that, the Masters, right? Well, the Daytona 500 is the Super Bowl of racing, and it's the first event in the NASCAR season every year. A little different.
Yeah, it is a little bit different. And his point is that if you're Tiger and you're not playing, I mean, those guys obviously could be driving and practicing.
Yeah.
If you're not playing in your Tiger and you show up at the incredibly tight Augusta and the grass, every blade of grass is like it's like everybody else's putting green. It seems like it would be a tough place to have your game on when you haven't been hitting balls and playing at all. So we'll see.
It'll
be interesting.
You will see, because you will be there along with myself, Brendan Sweeney, and the whole crew. And Steve will be there with us. I hope he comes to Augusta and hangs out with us at Azalea House. And
speaking of which, how are you getting to West Palm Beach? How's all that?
I'm getting to West Palm Beach.
Taken care of.
On the Golf Talk America G4, G5, G6, Greyhound 1. Azalea Hospitality, AzaleaHospitality.com, Marcus Brunel, Billy Lombard, Chris DeMaine, the crowd. Well, Chris will be with me. He'll be producing the show and doing social media for us down there. So Chris and I will be there on site. You'll be in the Dallas studio, so you'll be with us and on the air. But
And have you physically got a space lined up already to do the show from there, Frank?
We'll be doing the show from the interview stage. So we'll be up on the stage where they do
like in the media area.
In the media area where the golfers come in to do their interviews, we'll be set up all there. So you'll have the big backdrop, Honda Classic behind us and PGA Tour, which will look good. We'll send some pictures. It'll be fun.
And do they,
I hate that golf course. It's so hard. It is so hard for me.
Do they install a bar right there for you as well so that you kind of get that Dean Martin feel that you live for?
No, that would have been.
No bar?
That would have been Riviera.
We got to go to Riviera then.
Got to go to Riviera. It's a blast. But, you know, our friend Lauren Gold, who plays in The Who, and he's part of our Golf Talk America crew, he does our music and stuff for us, which he's working on some fun stuff for this year, was in Palm Beach. I just noticed he put something on Facebook, but I think he's left. So I guess I don't know if The Who was there, but he will not be at the Masters with us. Laura Brina will be there at the Masters with us. But Lauren will not be. He will be on tour with The Who in Europe. So he can't make the Masters, and he's bummed. He said, maybe I'll just call in sick. I said, yeah, Lauren, you tell Townsend and Roger Daltrey, you're going to have to call in sick. You've got to go to the Masters. And they'll have a new musical director. So
we're gonna have a lot of fun at the Masters because a lot of people are going to be
by
it's and be there, as you could expect.
And our friends from Under Armour will be there. Our friends from Caddy for the Cure, will be there. Yeah. Russ will be there. We're doing a special event, L's for Autism. So the L's crowd will be there on Sunday evening. On Monday, we'll have Tuesday is Tuesday for the Troops. I'm sorry. Tuesday will be Tuesday for the Troops. Folds of Honor will be that. Caddy for a Cure is Monday. We're going to have a caddy bash on Monday night. All the tour caddies are coming over, and we're going to be watching airing the NCAA basketball game. So
very nice.
And it's Final all four. Week. We're going to have a GTA gala at the end of the week. Golf Talk America, PGA Tour Radio, PGAtour.com gala on Friday. So a lot of fun stuff going on. Wednesday is the Golf Writers Association of America, of which we're members, big banquet, which will be awarding. They'll be awarding a lot of we, as GWAA, will be giving out awards on Monday evening from, I believe, Augusta Country Club, and we'll be there for that. Masters Week is a huge week. I'm selling Masters Week. I'm going to the Honda Classic. Did I tell you?
Yeah, no, we kind of passed that over. Yeah,
kind of. Ken Kennerly, tournament director for the Honda Classic. Fabulous guy. Honda, one of the oldest sponsors, if not the oldest sponsor, on the PGA Tour as far as sponsoring an event for all these years. Great sponsor. And Ken Kennerly, great tournament director, good friend, joined us at the PGA Merchandise Show on stage, as you recall. We interviewed him there.
Sure.
And the fellows from Golf Genius, Under Armour. Gosh, I mean, it's all just, we feel like a traveling Barnum and Bailey road show every year.
Well, it is a circus.
All of us are going together everywhere, and it's going to be fun. Wish you were going to be down in Palm Beach, but understand.
I'll be here holding down the fort.
Okay.
And you guys will be having a good time. Hopefully, Steve gave us a weather forecast. I guess he's already looked. I hadn't looked.
It always rains.
Is it raining in the forecast?
One day it always rains down there. It just does. Florida, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I lived there for a lot of years and loved it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say where I lived.
So we'll be coming to you the next time people hear this week on Golf Talk America. Frank will be in Palm Beach and coming to us from there. From I'm guessing Mar-a-Lago is where you're going to try to get
in. I was hoping the president would drop Air Force One in here. You know, he's not using the Trump jet. Maybe I'll call Eric.
Yeah.
I know Eric.
Yeah.
So I'll call Eric and say, hey, Eric, can I borrow the jet to go to Palm Beach? I don't want to go
see
Delta.
See if you can do that.
I don't want to go commercial.
See if you work that. I got a feeling I'm going to watch Fox News and see Frank being escorted out of Mar-a-Lago by security guards screaming, but I know Mr. Trump. I know him. We're friends.
I know the guy, you know.
As you're being thrown into the paddy wagon.
Well, kind of like the guy he waved up on stage at his rally in Melbourne this past weekend. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see
that. He sees a guy he's seen on TV before, and he says, hey, let him in. Come on, jump the fence. You look like a healthy guy. Jump that fence. So the guy jumps the fence to come up on stage, and he gets tackled by Secret Service. They didn't hear Trump, President Trump, excuse me, wave him up, but he brought him up. He talked. It was really funny. But, Yeah, it's okay. It's going to be fun down there. Mar-a-Lago is beautiful, and that course
should be good.
Oh my goodness, what a pretty place! We'll, by the way, before we go,
yeah,
Fox News alert right here. This is a frank news alert that Roy McIlroy did play 18 holes with President Trump this past weekend in South Florida.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
So
he's, glad he's keeping the game up.
Somebody has to be playing with him, and I think Rory, you know, Steve was just saying, has had his own health issues. I'm anxious to see Rory back in action.
Me too.
You know, I mean, we haven't seen Rory, it seems like, in forever.
Look at him. We talked about it earlier. Tiger bulking up. Rory McIlroy with his shirt off, he looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, good Lord. Do we really need that? We need to get our resident doctor for Golf Talk America on to talk about that and what that means.
Well, and we have, and we certainly have. And Troy Van Beesen, who's works with a lot of the guys on tour, he's a chiropractor for the PGA Tour and works with Jordan Spieth in Dallas, has mentioned that a bunch of times, saying, hey, it's not the same. And he works with a lot of hockey players and NHL players. He goes, you know, it's a different workout. You have to understand that. The hockey guys need a different muscle mass than you would if you're playing on the tour. And Steve's point about DJ – looking long and lean, but not bulked up. I think he's exactly right. You look at him and Bubba; they're both tall players, pound the ball a mile. But neither one of them—and I'm not saying they're not good athletes and everything—but neither one of them look bulky. They're just long and lean, right? And I think whether you're long or not, lean is the key word. If you're going to be a golfer, there's no need to be
flexibility.
Big and, you just don't need to have
that. That cup. Well, we'll get it. We'll talk about his where his wrist is in that backswing. It's very tough.
Yeah, very, very unique. Very unique. That it works for him, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Works for him.
Yes, it does. Hey, fun show. Enjoyed it. Sorry about the stats faux pas at the start of the show. I did misread it, and you're right. That's it was that many consecutive years that won at least once on the PGA Tour. Tiger, probably, you're right, has the record of most wins in those numbers of years.
Yeah, yeah, he won a lot when he was younger. He won a lot when he was in his 30s. He just hasn't won a lot lately.
That's what I get for trying to act like I'm smart.
There you go. And let's leave it with that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. Thanks so much for Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf for joining us today as well. And so for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Please join us next time as we come to you live from the Honda Classic in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, later this week. Until then, have a great week, everybody.
Bye, everybody.